Next up, we have Brathwaite versus School Board of Broward County. And we'll just wait again until the courtroom clears before we begin. Whenever you're ready, counsel.
Thank you. May it please the court, Ware Cornell on behalf of plaintiff. It's good to see you again, Judge Rosenbaum. This is now the third court that I've argued before you, so it's nice to be here.
How'd you do in the other two, counsel?
About 50-50, Judge.
All right, this is your tiebreaker. Go ahead.
Okay. With respect to this case, this involves a claim of race discrimination and a claim of retaliation. Judge Altanaga entered summary judgment as to both claims. As to the race discrimination claim, it's very obvious that she applied the wrong standard. She used the standard that was enunciated in Davis versus Town of Lake Park, even though she cited the Crawford case, which this court said had been basically overruled by Burlington Northern versus White. The EEOC has filed an amicus, which I'm sure the court's seen, and their suggestion, and we agree with it, is that the retaliation claim needs to go back to Judge Altanaga to apply the correct standard, and that standard being whether or not...
Why do we need to send that back? Isn't that an issue we reviewed de novo?
You could, yes, Judge, yes. Review is de novo, and last time I was here, a similar issue got sent back, so the EEOC, or the Department of Justice, excuse me, suggested that, and we're not opposed to that if that's what's happened. With respect to the discrimination claim, I wanted to point out to the court in Appendix Exhibit 39, which is her order granting summary judgment, she makes an interesting statement. She says, and this is on page 3 of Exhibit 9, with one exception, none of Brathwaite's notes to Staple made any indication Melendez's bullying had racial overtones, but she states she verbally communicated Melendez was distorting her name. Brathwaite avers Melendez would regularly distort her name, calling her Black Hate instead of Brathwaite on numerous occasions. Brathwaite also kept a diary, which she noted incidents of bullying, etc. Now, one occasion would be enough. And Brathwaite did complain about it. This situation, the court found that the physical, it's really a battery, but we call it an assault, was de minimis. And there's a video of what happened, and if you watch the video, you will see that Ms. Brathwaite is at the door posting something, and Melendez comes up close behind her, and after that, there is basically a fist fight. Now,
come on, counsel, really?
Well, it was a lot of pushing and shoving, Judge.
Yeah, the video's in the record, as you said.
It is, but what the video doesn't tell us, Judge, is really what happened. And what we have here is Ms. Brathwaite, who says, you know, I got hit first.
Well, except that we can watch the video. I watched it frame by frame multiple times. And it looks like when I watched it that Ms. Brathwaite, excuse me, is the first one to go after Ms. Melendez. And Ms. Melendez puts her arm up to stop her from hitting her and pushes her and her arm away.
And her version of it is that Melendez was was on top of her basically and started the first. And my view is that that's a jury question. We really can't see. I think all of us who've looked at it, including the defense lawyers, are reasonable people. And I don't think, including Judge Altanaga, certainly. And I don't think any of us can really, it's not like the Supreme Court case involving the dash cam and the, you know.
Yeah, but counsel, I'm not sure that it matters who touched whom first.
Okay. Well, I don't think she made a finding that it was mutual combat. And she based.
Isn't that fair?
I don't think so, Judge. It's sort of.
So it was unilateral contact. Your client had nothing, really, no contribution. She was just standing there taking it, right?
Well, no, she hit back. I think okay. Both of them.
Then isn't that the definition of mutual combat?
Well, I think the definition of mutual combat is that a person has a right to defend themselves, and that's what she's claiming she was doing. So I don't. My view is it's not mutual combat. But even if it was,
well, I'm sorry. Mutual combat is when the person doesn't have a right to defend themselves. Oh, I don't understand the criticism of the term mutual combat.
Well,
that means both of them were exchanging blows.
Obviously, both of them were exchanging blows, Judge, and it's been over 40-something years since I took torts, but yes, both of them were exchanging blows, but I don't think, I think the jury has the right to hear Ms. Melendez, the right to hear Ms. Braithwaite, has a right to look at it and decide who started the fight.
Well, let me ask you something.
Counsel, my point is I don't understand why that is necessarily the decisive factual issue, a material fact in this case. I mean, the employee could very well say, look, we've told her before how to refer to this employee.
Yep.
They're constantly pushing and shoving, or not constantly pushing, they're verbally going at it. And in this time, both of them went at it, each other, pushing and shoving. And that's enough.
Well, except what did the employer do here? The employer who had, as Judge Altanaga said, received a complaint that there was a racial overtone to this, and it's sort of like when we look at hostile environments, one of the things we say is there's no specific start date because it progresses. This progressed to a physical altercation, and at that point, you know, with Ms. Melendez calling her a black bitch during the mutual combat, Judge.
But even if we assume that the environment became sufficiently hostile and severe, particularly with the mutual combat incident, why isn't it sufficient that the employer took immediate remedial action? I mean, I think everybody agrees that the employer immediately transferred Melendez so that your client didn't have to deal with her anymore immediately following that incident.
My client had done a lot of other things before. She talked to Staple repeatedly. There is a reference to a written complaint that she made about the racial overtones. There was never an investigation undertaken by the employer until this disintegrated, I don't know if that's the right word, to mutual combat, Judge. And they never did anything. And then she goes and files an EEOC charge after the mutual combat is then suddenly written up for is, you know, this business about what's the appropriate name to refer to Ms. Melendez. And I submit that certainly from a temporal proximity standpoint, there's retaliation. And it just strikes me that the employer did not do anything about it, and that's one of the principal things that Ms. Braithwaite tells the court.
Well, he did have a meeting with him, did he not?
What, Judge, you know, yeah, I'm sorry, Judge.
He tried to, and you saw how that went.
Well, you know, he didn't do anything effective. He didn't refer it to anybody. He didn't separate them, even after she was saying there's racial overtones to this.
And there's no dispute, is there, that at least on some occasions, that your client refused, declined, or did not refer to Ms. Melendez as Ms. Melendez, as she was requested to do so by Staple.
That's true, Judge. No doubt about it. We don't dispute that. If I can reserve the remainder of my time, thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. My name is Damian Albert, and I represent the Appalachian School Board of Broward County in this case. We believe that the district court's order should be affirmed with respect to the hostile work environment claim. There's simply no evidence in this record that Ms. Brathwaite was subjected to severe or pervasive conduct. And for that reason alone, the order should be affirmed. With respect to retaliation, although the court did cite outdated cases with respect to the standard for adverse employment action, even under the current standard, as announced by Burlington, the issuance of a verbal reprimand and a written reprimand are not adverse employment actions. But more importantly, the court also...
Burlington. Why does everybody have such difficulty with that? Burlington says it doesn't have to be an adverse employment action. And when you say the district court applied the wrong standard by applying the adverse employment action standard, but it doesn't matter because there was no adverse employment action, you're just perpetuating the error. It's adverse action. It doesn't have to have anything to do with the terms or conditions of employment.
I agree with that. And I think the confusion probably lies in the elements of a retaliation claim, which are still announced as protected activity, adverse employment action, and causation. But you're correct in the sense that Burlington said it doesn't have to be employment related. If it has a material effect on the employee, even outside of the employment, it still can be considered adverse action.
So long as it's something that a jury could find would deter a reasonable employee from taking protected conduct.
Correct, but Burlington also tells us that the context matters and that there's an objective component to that analysis. And so looking at the Burlington standard, this court in its unpublished decision in Rayner versus the Department of Veteran Affairs on nearly identical facts found that two reprimands were not adverse action for purposes of a retaliation claim. And I would suggest to the court that in the absence of any record evidence submitted by the appellant that these reprimands impacted her in some meaningful way, either at work or outside of work, and there's no evidence of that, that the Rayner decision should be applied here, and there's no adverse action.
Wouldn't that depend on whether reprimands were considered in future employment decisions? Were to be considered in future employment decisions?
It would matter, but it would be incumbent, in my opinion, upon the appellant to submit that type of record evidence that it was. And there's simply nothing in this record that suggests that it would impact a future employment consideration. But more importantly, as I was saying, the court also found that there was no causation established based on the record and that the school board had articulated legitimate non-retaliatory reasons for each of those reprimands, and the plaintiff or the appellant never submitted any evidence establishing pretext. Even in the briefs here, there's no argument with respect to pretext. Because the school board has submitted that type of record evidence, that's an independent basis to affirm the judgment of the court.
I mean, why wouldn't it just be self-evident that if a written reprimand, let's just put aside the verbal, but a written reprimand would be considered on future employment decisions. I mean, if you got a choice of promoting two people and you look through the file and one of them's gotten a written reprimand, the other one hasn't, why wouldn't that potentially affect the decision?
I think it could potentially, but at the summary judgment stage, it would be incumbent upon the appellant to point that out through some sort of record evidence, even her own affidavit, which is silent as to that issue. But more importantly, the other thing that I would point to the court is that the appellant did submit an affidavit in opposition to summary judgment, and in that affidavit, she conceded that the reprimand, the written reprimand, was appropriate because she did violate the directive of her supervisor and continued to call this employee by her first name, even though she did not prefer that.
Yeah, and there was only one written one, correct?
Correct. That was the October 15th reprimand. It was written, and it was for violating a written directive from the supervisor to please stop calling this woman Evelyn, call her Miss Melendez. The appellant disregarded that and continued to engage in that conduct, admits that she did it, admitted it in deposition, admitted it in her affidavit, and even went on to say in her affidavit that it was appropriate to issue her a reprimand for that. If there's no other questions from the court, the school board would rest on its brief, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you, counsel.
I think the issue of causation is clearly addressed by the many holdings of this court that temporal proximity is a is evidence of causation. It was not until shortly after the filing of an EEOC charge, which is protected activity, that these reprimands for behavior which occurred back in August were met with a written reprimand. So from a causation standpoint, the district judge just got it wrong, because you have said the jury is entitled to decide whether or not that reprimand was done in response to the filing of a charge, which is protected activity. And I think that the other aspect of reprimands that I would point out, Judge Carnes, I think this was an issue that I thought of during your questioning, is Florida has a very strict Public Records Act. And anything that is written, basically, is subject to it, including matters in personnel's file. We have an act which prohibits the destruction of public records and requires that things be filed in the appropriate place, which would be her personnel file. And we're not making a liberty interest claim, but clearly the written reprimand would discourage someone from making complaints.
Respond to his argument that her summary judgment affidavit itself says that the written reprimand was appropriate.
If I may have a second, Judge, to pull that out, because I don't think they raised that in their brief.
And whether they raised it or not, I'd just like to know if it's part of the summary judgment record and our review is there.
If I may have, I've got 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and I don't think it'll take me that long to find it. I started to look for it while we addressed it.
I'm sure Judge Rosenbaum will give you another minute if it takes that long for you to find it.
Yes, Your Honor. I completely understand. What's the
you got it? There we go.
Look at page 3 of the affidavit.
That's what I just finished page 2, Judge. I'm now to. She said she received one reprimand, which was justified, but I think she got 3 reprimands on October 15th.
Yeah, what we're talking about in your argument reminded me of that with the open records argument. We're talking about the written reprimand. And the one she said was justified, as I understood it, was the written reprimand.
I think I agree, but I do think that there were three reprimands. But I understand the points. the court's concern about that. But the bottom line, I think, is that it's still a jury question. If she had gotten this reprimand before this happened, the fact is the school board just let this situation fester.
Yeah, so your position really crystallized is that even if a adverse action, or even if we assume it's an adverse employment action, is justified, it can still be done in retaliation.
Yes, Your Honor. That is my position.
I thought I'd help you a little.
Thank you, Your Honor. You might make it on the plus side of the 50-50 with that question. Thank you. I appreciate it. If that's it, if there's any other questions, if not, thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. We will be in recess.